If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Bills and Jaguars. Two head coaches with 500 records in the playoffs. If 0-0 is 500. I'm not sure it is.
I think it's not a record. It's not a record is what it is.
It's a non-record.
It's a non-entity.
It's something.
He has no record is what he has.
He's not 500.
Right.
I think you can't call that 500, but it's equal. It's as many wins as losses. How about that? McDermott 7-7. Seven coaches active have winning records in the playoffs. And one of them is not Sean Payton, by the way, who is 9-9 in his career. Zach Taylor, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Sean McVay, Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan, and, of course, Dan Quinn.
Of course, Dan Quinn.
Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. Sal, what's new? How's life?
Life is good, guys. It's playoff week. I'm excited. You know, it's a really intense time of year. You know, it's exciting to kind of think about all these games. And I just, I don't know. I'm the kind of person, I don't know if you guys are the same. I try to think about what life is like after a win and what life is like after a loss. You know what I mean? On Monday and how I'm reacting and how we're reacting. I know Bulldog and we've talked about like doing the shows before after losses, right?
Yeah. And I try not to think about it during the week because it's bad enough thinking about it as the game is unfolding on a Sunday or a Saturday or whenever these playoff games are. I don't like sitting with that.
This point is a problem for me this week because I'm finding that we're talking about all these what if they lose scenarios, Sal. And I mean, they're favored to win, not by much, but they haven't lost the game or anything yet. And yet we're talking, what if they lose? What if this happens? What about Allen? What about McDermott? What about Bean? Mm-hmm. We're doing so much of that. And there really isn't, hear me out, because this might sound funny on its face. Mm-hmm. There really isn't that much of an upside this week. Like, you have to win in Jacksonville in the first round. You know, I mean, what was the season worth if you don't? So I don't want to make it all sort of in this negative framework, but a loss here is devastating. And a win is, you know, kind of
go do
what
it again.
Needs to happen.
Go do it again is what a win is, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's right. I mean, the Jaguars are the team here that has nothing to lose and everything to gain, right? I mean, they kind of got here with a new head coach, and they have this resurgence, and you're kind of like the Bills of, I guess 2017, maybe even 2019, right? Even though that sucked losing in 2019, it's like, okay, like you got there, you got the young quarterback, let's go, let's see what you can do. You know, and they lost a pretty terrible fashion in that game, which left a sour taste in your mouth, but they didn't have to go win in Houston. Now it's like, okay, you've been there and okay, like now's the time. If you don't win this game, then the season kind of becomes a failure in a lot of respects. I totally agree with that. So yeah, I think about that part of it, which is, and for me, it's also the operation of it. Like literally I'm emailing our boss today and like, hey, worst case scenario, if they lose on Sunday, we have to do locker clean out Monday. Like, what does this look like? Where do you want me? How do you want to do this? Right. Like these are things that I have to start planning for
logistically.
Right. My life changes. That's the part of it. I'm not trying to, like, I know it does for a lot of us, but my life completely changes on the result of a Buffalo Bills playoff game each week, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, how do you feel about I don't know, the pressure, the narrative that, like, you know, the deck is clear, they got to go do it. Because, I think, you know, boiling it down, I don't think it's entirely fair, of course. I mean, what is in big media, right? I mean, narratives just take off and, you know, the flames get fanned and the conversation just grows and grows and grows. But I don't think it's entirely unfair to look at the Bills, you know, through the years here and say, like, this is as clean a look as you're going to get, even though you're not at home. I mean, it'd be a much easier sell to me if the Bills were Denver, sitting home waiting with no Mahomes and no Lamar Jackson and all the – I mean, holy cow, talk about regrets. Not getting the one seed in this year is just – what a miss. But I don't mind that the Bills are expected to go win because they've got the best quarterback and they've got the resume here. They've been deep in the playoffs multiple times here in this era. So I think there should be pressure on them.
Yeah, so there's a lot there, and I think it comes down to, for me, the two different aspects of the team and the quarterback conversation, right, that's been going on lately. And I'll start with the team. Agreed. Like, I mean, you're here now. You've built this team. You've come close. You didn't get there. Your goal is to get the one seed. You didn't not only do that, you didn't win the division, right? So far, you've kind of fallen short of the first goal of the season, but you still have everything in front of you. You get to what your ultimate goal is, but you got to win some games to get there. And that's going to be hard to do, but you have every opportunity in the world to do it because you have arguably the best player in the sport, right? I mean, you put yourself in this position, and the fact that you have to go on the road for three straight games is probably because you didn't take care of business earlier, but now you have a chance to atone for that. I have made the comment several times that if the Bills do lose on Sunday, I am guessing Monday is pretty much all Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean radio on WGR. That's probably what it is, right? It's everybody calling up and giving their opinion. I don't shy away from that. I think it's right. I understand it. It doesn't mean that we're saying they should or shouldn't move on, but I think fans will have that appetite to talk about it because they've had that appetite already, no doubt. I think where it comes to me, where I get annoyed, is the quarterback conversation about this. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, I agree. Like, Josh Allen has, you know, he is a quarterback, and in this sport, quarterbacks are judged on rings. I don't think that's totally fair, especially in Buffalo, where we have lived through Hall of Fame players losing four times in the Super Bowl. I think we're a little more sensitive, I know I am, to, well, he never got it done, and he shouldn't be regarded as one of the greats because of that. I think that's a bunch of baloney. We know how great Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed were. I know how great Dan Marino was and Warren Moon was. I don't dock them for not winning a Super Bowl, but I understand the legacy part. I do. That's what this sport is built on. And this right now is a chance for Josh Allen to really go forward and cement a legacy here, considering the other people who the Bills have not been able to beat are not in this. What bothers me is the talk about Allen to say that completely disregards the fact that the other guys couldn't even get there, right? Like, right, he has right. him and James Cook have arguably dragged the Bills to the playoffs, and they don't get credit for that, but he's going to get criticism for not winning once they're there. And if they don't, that makes me mad. It reminds me of when LeBron James went to a bunch of NBA finals, but his record was bad. Well, look at his record in the finals. Ha ha ha. I'm like, yeah, but he beat all these people that, like, to get there. Like, you're not even, like, the people that didn't get there don't get the criticism. He got there. Like, what did it take to get there? That's what bothers me.
I mean, I was over here criticizing all the other NBA players when this was happening, but that didn't seem to you know, get clicks. Let's put it that
didn't
way.
Move the meter much.
With Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. I don't mean to minimize.
Sorry
that point
about
at
that.
All.
I rambled on a little bit. I got a little heated there. I think it's a great conversation. Like, I think it's a great thing to kind of see, but it's been getting very annoying to me to see this about Josh Allen. And I understand the legacy part, but why are we not even mentioning the talking heads, the people saying this, not even mentioning the people who didn't get there, but yet he's going to be criticized if he does get there because of him, but that ultimately the team doesn't win.
I know. I mean, you're not wrong. We talked about this a lot yesterday, and I mean, Allen, unlike other great quarterbacks who didn't get to a Super Bowl, that's where we're at. It's not even winning one. It's not getting to one yet. He has had great performances in the playoffs. Peyton Manning was different, where Manning left you wanting in those games. Lamar Jackson is more like that, where it's mistakes and, you know, it's more on the quarterback. The failure is more on the quarterback. That is not the same point that you're making. You're talking about guys who didn't even get to the postseason by comparison. But I just want to see the game first, you know? Earlier we were talking, I know you were listening, who do you want to be at the two-minute warning, up three or with the ball? Do you want to be the team that can drive for the win or the tie, force, whatever it is? Or do you want to defend? Say it's like after a kickoff, so the 35 or whatever that would be. Which side would you take?
I think it's a fascinating discussion, and I've almost always in any sport taken the side of, I want to be the team winning. I'm already winning. The other team has to do work to beat me. I put myself in a position to win the game, so the other team has to try and beat me, and it's incumbent upon them to make the particular plays. Even in basketball, would I rather be the team on defense up two and defending, or would I rather be the team down two on offense, you know, with the ball? I want to be the team that's up because you have to make the play. So that's the way I approach these things. Now, I do think that there's some argument and nuance to, well, what's the score of the game? Like, if you tell me it's 45-42, I'm probably saying I want the ball. It means that you haven't been able to stop me all day, right? If it's 10-7, I want to totally be on defense. Your score is a good score, Mike, because it's kind of in between. But I did think about the fact that if it's 28-24, well, that basically means you've only scored three touchdowns so far through the, you know, first three-plus quarters. So I'm going to take my chance. You're not going to score another touchdown, and I'm going to play defense here.
Interesting. And if you missed this, I kind of hope you did so that you'll like this. Maybe you already heard it from yesterday's show. According to Pro Football Reference, for what it's worth, if you are down four, so this is with the Bills as the team, as a 1.5-point favorite. That's baked into the win probability. If you're down four, Bills are down four, two-minute warning, first and 10 at their own 35, they'd be 37.5% to win. So three out of eight scenarios they would win. If they're down three, it's only 30%.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
It's because you play more conservative.
Play the field goal, and then you got overtime to deal with, probably. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? So this is interesting. Matt Bove and I, we did a podcast today, and we were talking about Matt Prater, which we can get to him in a minute. And Matt made the comment on the podcast of, well, you know what? I mean, if you go into the game with Matt Prater, sure, you want him, and then he gets injured, then, like, I was making the point, maybe you want two kickers active just in case something happens to him during the game. Right. And Matt's like, well, do you really care? Then just go for two and don't kick. And I'm like, you want to have a no kicker in the game? And he said, yeah. And I get that point, but here to your point, Mike, but if that is the case, the defense knows that I have to go for it on fourth down. They're going to play me different on third down. I think there's so many variables here.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get to
the kickers. Yeah. What do you think the chances are they do that? I mentioned to Mike earlier, like Prater. Well, you can tell us what Prater said, but is it a crazy, crazy thing to do to have the practice squad kicker called up in case something happens to Prater during the game?
It's not crazy. It's tricky. I think there's two parts to this. Number one, first of all, Matt Prater did talk with us today. He did not practice today. But what he said, he actually did use the word precautionary, which is really encouraging when it came to Sunday, last Sunday when he left the game. He said because of the cold and warming up, his right quad stiffened up on him. So that's why they took him out of the game. He didn't kick. He didn't kick today, but he said he feels confident going into tomorrow. He'll be able to get quality work in, but he still has to do it. He has to do it tomorrow, has to do it on Friday. It's obviously going to be warmer in Jacksonville. So I'm encouraged. He sounded pretty darn confident that he's encouraged, but he also could be, you know, just because that's the way people are wired and he wants to go out there and he wants to do it. Now, that being said, there's two parts to this. Number one, I don't think it's crazy at all to elevate Matthew Wright Sunday at 4 p.m. I'm sorry, Saturday at 4 p.m. for Sunday's game, because you could get to Sunday morning, and what if Matt Prater wakes up and he has a quad that's stiffened up on him, right? Because of a plane ride and whatever. Now, if you don't have somebody available, you can't even activate him for the game. It's tricky because you only get two elevations, so that would be one of them. Okay, then you get to that. Let's even say you do that. Now you're talking about 90 minutes before the game making a call on actually putting the guy on the 48-man game day roster. Sure, you could do it, and Bulldog, I don't think it's crazy at all, but there's only 48 guys who can dress, and right, there's other people banged up, and you're going to have to use those spots. That's where I think it's tricky.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Josh Palmer is – today's a walkthrough, which I think is – send Prater down there tomorrow. Get warm. Go down there. It's going to be warmer before Sunday anyway. Right. What does it need to be here for?
I don't need you to be flying 12 hours before the game or 24 hours before the game.
Warm up. Get touched. Whatever it is you got to do to get your leg right. Palmer on this injury report, is that something new?
Yeah, well, it's something that we didn't expect today. Sean McDermott met with us before practice. He told us who would be participating, who wouldn't today. Joshua Palmer was not on that list. He did not mention him. So, as we've talked many times before, it could be that maybe they decided before they went out, you know what, let's just back off on Josh Palmer today. He'd been dealing with the ankle all year. Or it could be something that happened and flared up and they're like, okay, well, I guess he can't practice today. Like, we don't know exactly where that is. We'll find out for sure more tomorrow. It was a walkthrough today, an estimation, as you guys know, when that happens. So, I think it's something to be concerned about. But they've been down this road with Josh Palmer a lot, especially, you know, the second half of the year here. And it just seems like he just can't get right.
But it'd be really interesting to see what they do there if that lingers, if he is unable to go. Like, is that automatically Keon Coleman? I'm thinking about how McDermott has been so in love with Mecole Hardman's speed. That's a practice squad elevation, so that might get, you know, complicated. I just wonder what they would end up doing at receiver. The easy button would be, well, Coleman's the next guy up.
That's probably right. I mean, we know what they feel about Brandon Cooks. I mean, he did not play last week because they want to keep him ready, right? I mean, so obviously he's a guy that they need. We know what they feel about Tyrell Shavers. He's out there no matter what every week. And if obviously Khalil Shakir. So I think Keon Coleman would be. The other name you get to is Gabe Davis. But honestly, I'd be stunned if Gabe Davis didn't play in this game.
Me too.
I mean, you go back to Jacksonville, the place that just cut you. And I mean, we talked with Gabe at length today, too, in the media. And you know, he's not going to say he has friends down there. Gabe's not going to give you a bulletin board material, but I suspect Gabe Davis would really like to go to Jacksonville and play well in this game.
What's your latest thinking about the Jaguars, Sal? Just overall quality, how they match up with the Bills?
I mean, it's good on good in a lot of areas, right? Which is especially the Bills run offense against the Jags run defense. That's going to be a tough matchup. This is a Jacksonville Jaguars team that faced Jonathan Taylor twice, Christian McCaffrey, and other good running backs. They never allowed 75 yards rushing to anybody, more than 75. That's a tough deal for the Bills. But I think one thing the Bills have done really well this year, and I can think about games like Carolina and then game like Pittsburgh, where they did the same thing but in two different ways, where they have been able to pivot to different kinds of runs, different styles of runs. They are a very, very adaptable offensive line, adaptable offense to run the ball in different fashion and say, okay, they're very good at stopping the run. But, I mean, really, could they stop anything you do with them? Maybe, I guess, but maybe it's toss sweep like in Carolina. Maybe it's inside zone with a bounce, you know, against Pittsburgh. Whatever it is, I think the Bills will absolutely try to do that. I mean, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is playing really well. He's pushing the ball down the field. It is, here's good on good. But the Bills are the best team in the league at not allowing explosive plays. They keep everything in front of you. And I think in this game, one thing the Bills are going to want to do is really make Trevor Lawrence be patient and try to force him into a mistake. And he hasn't made a lot of mistakes lately, but I think as a more inexperienced quarterback in these situations, that's something you're going to try and want to do.
Are you deterred at all by the fact that Parker Washington's real name is Christopher Parker Washington? Does that give you pause? He's named for Bulldog?
Did not even know that until you just mentioned
Christopher Parker Washington. Right.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
I got a guy, Sal.
You do.
I hope he doesn't break our hearts.
What we're not spending enough time on is that, incredibly, when the total for a Jacksonville Jaguars game is 49 or higher, they are 1-25 all time straight up, with the one being their first of these games in the 90s. 25 in a row. when it's been basically predicted to be a high-scoring game, they have lost. I mean, going back decades. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah. I did not believe this when you first said it. Like, I did believe it, but I'm like, I got to look it up. I actually pulled it up on Sports Reference. On
Stathead.
The site here, Stathead. It's incredible. It's just loss after loss after loss, and I'm looking at it. And I know Bulldog. I was listening on my way back from the stadium. You asked how many in the Trevor Lawrence era. And when was Lawrence drafted? 2020, did we decide? Or I think that was when it was. I'm not really sure. Anyway, they've had 16 games since 2020, but a lot of them that year. One in 21, a couple in 22, and they've had a few over the last few years where they've been the over-under total has been that high, and they have not won the game. By the way, in that one game against San Francisco, it was 41-3, so they crushed them, right? But, yes. It is an amazing stat. It really is. But here's the thing. I don't know what to think about that or do with it. It's a fun stat.
That's right.
You know, that this is a great, like, another great example or anecdote, a way of looking at things of how much does it matter the history between the Jags and Bills, right? The Bills going to Jacksonville. You have that game in 17. You have that awful game in 21 against Urban Meyer. You have the game in London. And there are a lot of Bills fans and people in the media who will say, it's just, they just don't play well there. They don't play well against them. They don't play well against them away from home. I just don't think that way. I think professional athletes don't care about that. They don't wake up on Wednesday morning before practice and go, oh my God, we don't play well in Jacksonville. Like, it's just not what you do.
Totally
right.
You
get ready for each game. So we asked Mitch Morse this yesterday on, by the way, I just want to promote it. Mitch was amazing on the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Obviously, he played for the Bills. He played for the Jags to end his career. And I said, settle this debate because Bove thinks it matters. I don't think it matters. He basically sided with me, but he did say, which was interesting. He said, when I was a player, I wouldn't care about that. Like, every team is different. You know, you go out to play that game. He said, but now I'm in this spot, meaning in the media. He goes, I do kind of think of it that way a little bit, which is really interesting perspective.
Yeah. Well, you need something to say over here. We need things to say. So here's something you can say and maybe even talk yourself into. Lawrence is the 21 draft. So he's played five seasons. I didn't know earlier. Sorry. Wasn't sure.
Right.
So he's been around for eight of these games where the total was 49 or higher, all losses. And also, you have the Stathead page up like I do, probably.
Yep.
It's 26 games. They were favored in three of the 26. So it's not like they would have been, it would have been upsets had they won almost all of these games. Any of these games would have been an upset by the point spread.
Including, they came close to, they had an overtime loss here to Minnesota, I see, in 20.
Yeah, that's one that happened. They almost won that one. But, that's right.
But they got not a lot of these games are close though, Mike. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the scores here too, which is crazy.
Yep. It's an amazing streak. More or less amazing than Pittsburgh winning 23 straight Monday night home games.
Oh my God. I know. We were talking about that today too. Just like,
this Steelers streak is incredible.
Jeff Hostetler is the last road quarterback to win a Monday night game.
I mean, that is super incredible. That's the thing I keep thinking about. Like, I'm with Bove today. We're talking about all this, and I'm like, you know, I keep thinking about what's Sunday like. I'm flying back on the charter, and I'm either thinking, okay, locker cleanout day tomorrow, talking about.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
McDermott talking about Bean, starting the process over again. Or I'm like, I can't wait to get home and kick my feet up and watch this damn Chargers-Patriots game. It's going to be awesome just to kind of, all right, we're all good. We're clear. We're in the next round. Let's see what you guys got. You know what I mean?
If the
it's just such a juxtaposition. Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
Bills win. Chargers win. Bills get the Monday night winner on the road in the second round. Bills win. Patriots win. Then they get Denver in the second round. They can't get New England in the second round. So there it is.
And by the way, Tomlin, as great as they've been on Monday night, he's not that great on a short week. So my guess is, and I'm guessing, they're not going to put the Steelers or the Texans on Saturday next week, right?
I would think.
So that winner's going to play on Sunday, but it'll still be a short week. It'll be 6 days. Monday night to Sunday will be a short week.
That's new. That's new for us. That's new for us, Sal. Good point, because that means I just laid out the possible matchups. The Bills will not play the Steelers-Texans winner on Saturday. So that means their game will probably be on Saturday if it's the Denver game.
I'm not so sure about that, Mike. I think you could be right. If I remember correctly, the teams that have finished with the one seed have almost always played on Sunday. But I could be wrong about that. I have to go back and look. I thought I remember that last year. It's not like anything I looked up recently, but it is something to look up.
It is different now, maybe, with like, I'm just thinking the conferences would each split the 2 days, but maybe that doesn't always happen anymore.
You're right. But I do know that over the last few years, there's been a few times where I'm like, oh, it's interesting. They're putting the NFC on one day and the AFC on the other day.
Okay.
Like, it's just kind of more random now. You know what I mean?
And now those early games in the playoffs by the second round start at like 3, don't they? Or even later. So you wouldn't have Denver at 1 o'clock, but there might not be a 1 o'clock game anymore after this week.
Right. Divisional, they've started doing that. And we're by the time we get to divisional, we're to CBS and Fox. Right, is the prime is out of the mix?
That's
ESPN's
right.
out of the mix. Like, it's just, Peacock. or does ESPN get a divisional game, but it's on a Saturday?
I'll look. I'm not sure.
No, do you guys remember when the Bills played divisional last year?
This is Baltimore. It's Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night was a 6:30 game though. It wasn't really a Sunday night. It was 6:30 p.m. That's when they did that. But they have so last year divisional was Saturday at 4:30, Saturday at 8, Sunday at 3, Sunday at 6:30.
Yeah. Okay. And Seattle will have to have a later game too. But these are all later games because they'll be home next week. All right. Exciting stuff. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Garcelle Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I omitted NBC there, right? NBC will still have a stake here. They have the Super Bowl, for God's sake. They're not going to be out of the playoff business.
They won't have a championship game.
Right.
But they might have a game next
week. Game next weekend.
Yeah. And they have New England, L.A. this week.
This week, right.
803-0550 for your calls. How do you feel about the Jaguars, the big topics we've been hitting here this week? We'll look for your calls after the update here on WGR.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,